Our next speaker is Eric Pryor from Matrix Design Group. Eric has been working in the mining industry since the early 1990s when he began as an electrical engineer for a mining construction company. He is co-founder and president of Matrix Design Group, located in Newburgh, Indiana. Eric has been working with the development of proximity detection technology for mining equipment since 2005 and has comprehensive knowledge of the technology. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in electrical engineering from Purdue University. Matrix is a leader in safety and productivity technology for underground mining applications in the United States. Its innovative products include communications and tracking systems, mine atmospheric monitoring systems, belt control, and proximity detection systems. Matrix is a subsidiary of Alliance Resource Partners, a diversified producer and marketer of coal primarily to U.S. utility companies and industrial users. Eric?
I can get the mouse to work.
Good morning, everyone. I'll talk here as I try to find the presentation. Wrong one. This one? There we go. Sorry about that, folks. Well, I'm last. I don't know if that's good right before lunch, if it'd be better to be first right after lunch or last right before lunch. I also noticed they closed those sunshades up there. I wasn't sure if it was because it was getting bright out and they were afraid my head might create some unwanted glare on the audience. So I'm glad to be here. It was very interesting hearing from Michael McMillian and Mike Berube and Joe about proximity technology. It's near and dear to my heart. I've been working on it, like Mr. Sheridan said, since 2005. And it's I've devoted a lot of time in my life to it. Just to start out, I want to say the premise around my presentation is that I believe, and we at Matrix believe, that proximity detection, when deployed correctly, can save lives and reduce lost time accidents with little or no loss on productivity. So as we go through this, I'll talk a little bit about prox. I know, again, you know, Michael and Mike and Joseph have talked a lot about prox technology, so I'll try not to bore you on some of the details that have already been covered. Matrix started on prox, again, like I mentioned, back in 2005 with a partnership prior to our acquisition by our partnership with Alliance Coal. Mark Watson and myself started doing some research and development on prox. 2006 to 2008, we actually deployed some systems into mining in the U.S., mostly within Alliance Coal, and doing extensive testing on prox. 2009, the fall of 2009, we signed a partnership with Joy to co-develop proximity detection with Joy Mining. And we also started in 2009, we had a mandate from Alliance Coal, or Alliance Coal put a mandate out that every continuous miner coming out of rebuild or production would go underground with new prox, with prox on it. Since then, in the 2009 to 11 timeframe, we had about 50 systems installed in Alliance. In 2012, we began development on our new proximity system that I'll get into a little further along. As we moved away from just focusing on continuous miners, we saw the need for proximity on all face equipment, all mobile equipment. From 2012 to present, in fact, from 2009 to present, with the partnership with Joy, we have over 150 continuous miners with proximity detection installed on it in the United States in operation. And I want to point out the key to that is in operation in the United States. Just a real quick highlight on the differences between Gen 1 and our Gen 2 system. Like I mentioned, Gen 1 system was designed for continuous miners, close range, 30-ish feet range around the machine. had six drivers located around the machine on the initial systems. The current systems now have four. The difference in the Gen 2 system, just to highlight some things, it has about three times the effective range as the current continuous miner system. The reason that range is needed is for higher speed vehicles. A miner like Mr. DeCarm talked about, they move slowly. It does seem strange that a machine that moves so slowly could be such a danger, but it does pivot quickly, as he mentioned, up to 6 feet per second. So it can encroach on somebody pretty quickly when they're in an entry that's only 20 feet wide and the machine's 12 feet wide, leaves a few feet on each side. And typically the person that's injured with a continuous miner is the miner operator with the remote control or maybe the cable handler. With other haulage equipment, mobile equipment, the greater range is needed because the shuttle cars can move up to 6 miles an hour, and outside the U.S. even faster than that. Both systems implement our shape zone technology, similar to what NIOSH is doing with their smart technology. Since 2009, we have been doing precise location around the machine with an XY position. We haven't taken it to the next step of adding the smart features to just limit movement to the areas that are affected. Both systems are robust mine-proven construction, which is something Michael McMillian even mentioned, that it's got to be installed properly. It's got to be robust. If it doesn't work, in fact, Mr. Broovy even mentioned that about habits. We don't want a traffic jam in the middle of our commute to work. We don't want something to change day in, day out at work. We want specific habits. Very good points on that. If it's not mine hardened and robust and it fails and causes errors, it's going to change the way they do things differently every day, and it's going to be hard to deal with. Like I mentioned earlier, we partnered with Joy in 2009. The Smart Zone is marketed by Joy on both of these systems, and IntelliZone marketed by Matrix. The components on the machine, very similar to, like I said, what's been talked about. There's drivers. Some people refer to them as generators. We refer to them as drivers on the machine. And the locator, a personal wearable device located on the person. As you see in this illustration here, the miner on the left, the driver is mounted in a pocket on the bumper of the machine. We have four drivers on the machine. On the shuttle car, you'll see it encased in the bumper underneath the loading end of the shuttle car. Fairly small device behind the what I call the lines of the machine, cables routed behind the machine to ensure that they're not damaged. They will be damaged. You know, equipment in mines, everybody in here is familiar with mines, things break. You have to take extra care to ensure that they're as protected as possible. This is just a picture of the polycarbonate enclosure with the XP electronics potted inside. You can see that, and if you guys are interested, sneak over to our booth. We've got it installed on a mine cart, maintenance buggy. Picture on the bottom right shows the new polycarbonate driver inserted or mounted in with an adapter assembly to the existing pockets on machines that are put in for version one of the system. Small diameter cable, easy to route. Actually, the new cables, that's an older picture. That's the same IS cable we used on our first system. This is an XP driver. We've gone with a black cable because in the industry, a lot of times, the light blue indicates IS, so we've tried to get away from that. The locator, cell phone sized, has a display on it and audible and visual alerts. Test station where you can test it on the surface. It's intrinsically safe. So you can, back to the test station, so you can test it prior to going underground to ensure that the system's working right. It actually has three coils in it to receive magnetics on all three XYZ axes in case it's turned or rotated. You're still getting a good vector sum of that magnetics. The awareness zones, as this comes into place, not a lot different from what the other three speakers have talked about. Has drivers mounted on the machine, like Mr. DeCarme mentioned. We do more of a specific zone design around the machine, similar to our smart zone. We can actually draw a zone with software to any shape what we desire. This one shows the red and yellow zone. Yellow zone indicating a warning zone, red indicating a shutdown zone. Not necessarily to scale there on the size of the zones. As this is showing as it's coming in, this is an indication similar to what the zone may look like when the machine's in cutting mode. When we cut, we found out, you know, we spend a lot of time underground with the operators and the minor operators to see where they stand, where they need to stand, how the system's working. And they like to stand in that spot up near the bumper, left or right, depending on if it's a right-hand or left-hand machine, so they can get in there close and stay out of the way of the shuttle cars that comes in to load. When the cutter's on, the zone swells out to incorporate the tail. Actually, it's not exactly indicative of what it looks like underground. We actually pull the red zone up to the end of the tail because statistics show that there aren't many cases where the machine runs over somebody. It's usually a pinning incident. On a shuttle car, we actually can have, on any piece of equipment, we can change the zone size. But on a shuttle car, low speed zone moving forward will be smaller zone behind the machine, red zone in front, and an extended red zone out in front of the, or extended yellow zone out in front of the car. As it speeds up, that zone changes. The zone increases for that. As you see, the zone is pretty specifically designed to be square and shoot down the entry. The idea of that is, obviously, if you're passing crosscuts and it's swelled out into the crosscut, you're going to be having nuisance shutdowns when you see somebody standing there waiting for the car to come by. Showing a higher speed zones and longer range, obviously, magnetics, see-through curtains, they're not affected a lot by things, light things like that. We also, with the software, have the ability to do neutral zones, carve out neutral zones. This one indicates a neutral zone in the operator cab of the car. What we're doing with that is, the person sits down in the car, there's a neutral zone there, there's a button on the top of the locator that registers that person with that zone. If they step out of that zone, the car shuts down. When they get back in, they have to reassign themselves as the operator of the car. A lot of things, and I think it was even implied a little bit in the other three speakers, we're learning a lot. The industry's learning a lot about proximity detection, learning a lot about what's needed by the industry. Things are evolving. You know, I know Mike Berube mentioned, you know, we come up with some ideas, we try them, they may not work, and we come back and realize, hey, we probably need to be simpler here, maybe more complex here, and there's a lot to learn going forward about procs. One of the things I want to stress, it's not on my slides here, is that, you know, the industry's changed. This isn't coal mining like it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago or before the Sago incident with the new Miner Act. Safety is being driven as a priority. I know everyone in here believes in safety, but it's changing the way we mine coal. A lot of these things we're just going to have to be patient with. I know Consol, like Mike mentioned, it's going to take several years to install all this on all of our equipment as well. And during that time, there's going to be changes and implementations and improvements on the system. And there's going to be times where we back up and realize we might have implemented something that wasn't as effective. This here on the car, this is our right now version of how we're going to log in and out of the operator. And I'm sure that's going to change as we get out in the field and employ more. Zone types, I won't go into this anymore, but basically caution zone, shutdown zone on the personal locator device or what we call the locator. We've got a green light, yellow light, and a red light, and you're going to hear an annoying beep, unfortunately. Oh, good, he's got it turned down. But when you're in a warning zone, it's going to produce an audible that the person hears that warns them that they're in the yellow zone. And then also, as you see on the driver on the machine, it flashes red, flashes yellow, flashes, and it's solid green. It has different light codes based on the status of the machine. Here I want to just preface this. This is a video that our partner Joy put together. It's just about 2-minute animation of proximity detection interaction between pieces of equipment in the mines. It's got a continuous miner, shuttle car, and then at the end a feeder breaker. And it just kind of highlights some of the functionality of the system. Let's see if I can get this to play. Okay, as you see on the machine, there's the drivers located. They're recessed in the machine, inside the lines of the machine. Got a polycarbonate cover on them just to increase the ruggedness. There's on the shuttle car. As you see, the person has a personal wearable device. On this one, it's clipped on his lapel area. It's got audible and visual. As you see, as the machine is in the zone cutting, they're loading coal now, the zone around the shuttle car and the miner, you'll see, you can't really tell in this because of the light, but the cutter's on. As soon as the cutter head goes off, the tail swells, or the zone swells out around the tail. The operator obviously doesn't see the yellow and red zone on the ground, like Joseph mentioned, it's not visible. But as he comes in to this, you'll see the yellow lights flash, and then as he enters the red zone, it shuts the machine down. There's a slight delay in this video. It's actually very quick. As he steps back out, no action required again to enable to take off again. And as you'll see the shuttle car come in, the zone changes again. He's turned the cutter head back on. Now, as you see the shuttle car go out, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to stop this. Okay, as the shuttle car goes out, you'll see the zone extend out down the entry. And as you see, it extends out down the entry, but it doesn't swell out, enabling that people to stand in that in the crosscut there and not be seen by the system. And then it keeps extending with the speed. We have pretty well infinite ability to change that. As he comes through this curtain here, the person will be alerted, and it sends him, shuts down. And then lastly, it's going to come up and just show it loading at a feeder breaker. And as it comes in, you know, the speed changes, the zone changes. But the key is, and we don't have any that we're testing on feeder breakers right now, but it'd be a pretty simple piece of equipment, not as mobile. But the key is the zones are shapeable and configurable. So let's see here, what I go next. All right, good. Pretty neat what you can do with software these days. Almost finished up here. Just some highlight some keys on installation. Michael McMillian mentioned that proper installation is crucial. I think his comment was something like, if you're going to do any installation underground, it needs to be prepped before it goes underground for that to happen. There's some heavy construction needs to go on to ensure the system holds up. As you see on this, you know, we've got welded pockets. This one here on the top picture, the front of the machine, we have this is one of the original systems that had six drivers on the machine, but we've got them mounted in the pan. On the new systems, they're mounted in the pan and on the bumper. I thought it was crazy when maintenance director from Alliance came to me and said, let's put them in the pan. I thought it'd never work, and they actually hold up really well. They're a lot better there than in the bumper. In the bumper, that shuttle car just keeps banging it. You can do whatever you want to it, and it's going to get torn up. The good thing is they hold up pretty well with that 2-inch polycarbonate over them. All the cables are behind the machine covers. As you see down here, that bottom right picture, that polycarb is recessed about 1/8 inch behind the line of that machine, so it's as it scrapes along the rib of the mine, it does hold up well. Some of the keys to success of proximity, and I've hammered on these, but it is aggressive guarding and proper installation of the equipment is very, very important. Also, some other success is the shape of the zones, ensuring that the zones don't encroach on somebody, that don't cause problems, aren't just there, but they actually make sense where they're designed. And use of easily mounted or small diameter cables that you can route where are needed. Some keys to success at the mine would be using a system that you can commonly use across the board. And I think Mike Berube highlighted on that in the Strata system. You know, you want to put one system on. And I can't imagine anybody in here, this is not a very good sales thing to say, but I can't imagine anybody in here using half Strata and half Matrix Joy. You're going to use one or the other, and I encourage that. You're going to have trouble maintaining it. You're going to have trouble training people if you've got multiple systems. I say that, you know, obviously I want everybody to buy ours, but you need to make the best decision for your mind. Whatever works best for your mind, you need to make that decision, because it's all about safety. We want to see lives saved. And the other key, and it was mentioned by one of the speakers as well, in fact, it was Mike McMillian, you got to have communication from the top down, from management's buy-in, telling the people how to use the system and ensuring that they use it right and then they maintain it properly. At the mines, you know, it's important that you conduct post-installation training. Again, that was mentioned by previous speakers. Train the operators, train the maintenance personnel on how this system works. If you don't have a system that functions and people that know how to use it, they're not going to use it properly. And after the installation, conduct follow-ups. Continue to follow up, continue to train. And have experts on site at your mine that understand the system. Don't rely on your vendor, the third party, to come out to make sure your mine mines coal. Mr. Bruby mentioned, you know, coal producers aren't in the charity business. They're in the business to make money. You got to take the ownership, put the guys in place at your mine, let the vendors help train them and make sure that they understand how to use the equipment. And plan ahead with spare parts, because things will fail in a mine. Lastly, Matrix and Joy spend a lot of time with the operators and the end users on training. I know we have training records since 2009, and more in particular since 2011, of the number of people we've trained. And between Matrix and Joy, we've trained over 3,000 continuous miners, maintenance personnel, and people that work around the equipment in the U.S. We have folks go into a mine next week to do a retraining class and include a couple hours of training on procs. Train. I think it's very important. The red zone, the yellow zone, the habits, it's important that you train the people where those are, and train them to not rely on this system to be perfect. You know, it's like a seatbelt or your safety glasses in a, you know, I tell people I weed eat around my lake, and safety glasses don't always keep stuff from flying up and hitting me. It's still a better system. I still have to be careful. I can't rely on the safeties in my life, just like this cannot be a fail-safe, save your life every time, but it will reduce accidents in the mines. Real quickly, before we wrap up here, it was also mentioned in some previous slides about production. We have seen no noticeable change in production once Prox is put on. Maybe right away, initially, for the first handful of people that use Prox, it does change the way they mine, but within a few days, production is back. People understand how to use the system and perform back to their previous rates. A couple of quotes from some operators that we have installed Prox at. Proximity systems increase operator awareness of the red zone and are a useful training tool to reinforce safe operating habits. Another one, to date, on CM mining sections where proximity has been installed, there have been no red zone accidents or reported near misses. Now, I know the question was asked earlier, can we really measure that? We can't really measure. Would there have been an accident had it not had Prox or not? It's really hard to tell. But I really am confident if the technology were to never improve from where it is today, it's still going to save lives. The good thing is we've got a lot of people out there that are doing R&D with NIOSH and with Strata, with ourselves, other companies that are improving the technology. So it is going to get better. Lastly, we're working on surface equipment applications right now. I'm not going to spend much time on that. There's some guys down at Riverview Coal, Alliance Mine, and happy miner operators. And that's it. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Eric?
Yeah, same question, really. What is the lowest cutting height that you currently have a system operating in?
All right, I'm going to defer that to my field service manager, Kevin Kerr. He asked, what's the lowest cutting height that we have, or maybe even Phil Rosenstern from Joy, that we have a machine installed? 3 feet. No hard ones. No, I'm just. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Eric. I want to wrap up this session, make a couple comments. These guys have put a lot of hard work into developing a technology that I believe is maybe the single greatest safety enhancement for underground mining since ATRS. This technology can basically eliminate an accident scenario we've been battling with for 30 years now. So it's really great work. But I also want to suggest that there are some other directions we could go with this technology. I imagine proximity detection being used for things like warning of unsupported roof. You know, if you put a field generator or the last row of roof bolts or the second to last row of roof bolts and someone crosses under getting a warning. I imagine them on overhead power lines. I know NIOSH has done some work on stationary conveyors to keep people out of pinch points there, dump points on the surface. I think this technology has very broad potential going forward. So I know these guys are focused on underground, and there's still a lot of work to do, but I think there's a lot of growth that we could do. It eliminate a lot more accidents in the mining industry. I want to thank these guys again, and maybe we can give them all one more round of applause. That wraps up this session. Thanks to everyone for your attention.